Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of impaired glucose tolerance found under the endocrine section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with an introduction to impaired glucose tolerance. Remember that impaired glucose tolerance is effectively pre-diabetes. This is meant to identify those who are at risk for progressing to diabetes, and this is identified by early signs of insulin resistance. Remember that visceral adiposity is a major risk factor. And in terms of the evaluation, impaired glucose tolerance is defined as a fasting glucose in the range of 100 to 126 milligrams per deciliter, or a glucose challenge range between 140 and 199 milligrams per deciliter. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to impaired glucose tolerance, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 51-year-old man presents to his primary care physician to discuss the results of his hemoglobin A1C test. It has been slowly increasing from 5.7% 2 years ago to 5.9% last year and 6.1% this year. He works as a secretary in an office, has smoked one pack per day of cigarettes for the last 10 years, and drinks socially. His BMI is 46.1, and he eats mostly fast food. Based on these results, he is advised to make lifestyle modifications in order to improve his health. Which of the following factors contributed most significantly to the development of this patient's condition? And the answer choices are: choice 1, alcohol consumption; choice 2, biological sex; choice 3, sedentary lifestyle; choice 4, smoking; or choice 5, visceral obesity. The best answer to this question is choice 5, visceral obesity. This patient who presents with increased hemoglobin A1C values is most likely developing insulin resistance. Among the factors listed, the most important risk factor for insulin resistance is the presence of visceral obesity. Insulin resistance occurs when peripheral tissues, such as muscle and fat, become desensitized to the effect of insulin. This can be seen molecularly as a decreased translocation of the glucose transporter 4 to the plasma membrane, as well as a decreased metabolic activity within these tissues. Over time, increasing insulin resistance can result in systemic hyperglycemia and the development of frank diabetes mellitus. The most important risk factor for developing insulin resistance is ectopic lipid deposition due to visceral obesity. Patients with a BMI over 35 have a more than 40% chance of developing diabetes mellitus. Weight loss is the most effective treatment for diabetes. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Alcohol consumption can cause insulin resistance due to increased caloric intake in heavy drinkers and recurrent episodes of pancreatitis. However, social drinking does not have a strong association with peripheral insulin resistance. Recurrent episodes of pancreatitis can also result in diabetes due to decreased insulin production. Choice 2. Biological sex is important because adipose tissue distributions are different between men and women. However, insulin resistance develops similarly in both sexes. Specifically, visceral obesity is associated with insulin resistance in both men and women. Choice 3. A sedentary lifestyle is associated with the development of diabetes because exercise promotes insulin-independent glucose disposal. However, the relationship between being sedentary and insulin resistance is primarily through the development of visceral adiposity. Choice 4. Smoking is associated with the development of diabetes because oxidative stress can result in metabolic dysfunction of fat and muscle tissue. However, ectopic deposition of lipid in patients with visceral obesity is much more significant as a risk factor for insulin resistance. Finally, a bullet summary. Visceral adiposity is a major risk factor for the development of insulin resistance. That's all for this review about impaired glucose tolerance. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullet Step 1 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on medbullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the MedBullets Step 1 podcast.